Good morning, beloved. Good to be with you again this morning. Please join me, 2 Peter chapter 1. And we'll be looking at verse 12 to 15, a very short passage today. Have you ever forgotten to do something important? You can relate, can't you? Forgetting things can be embarrassing. Forgetting somebody's name after you have met them at least a dozen times. Forgetting to return a call, forgetting that assignment, forgetting to brush your teeth, even when you're on greeting on Sunday morning. You can relate, I know. But forgetting things is not just embarrassing, it can also be dangerous. Forgetting to lock your door at night. Forgetting to take those medications. Forgetting to do the thing you were trained to do in case of emergency. Forgetting to pack that emergency kit for your hike, the list goes on. It's clear from experience that from time to time, you and I are in need of reminders. And so we use our phones and put our tasks and our events and our birthdays and our anniversaries in our calendars. We need to remember because if not, there's a good chance we'll fail in our responsibilities. We could even damage our relationships or much worse. And the Christian life is no different, because even after you and I have come to a saving knowledge of God in Jesus Christ, even after we are established in the foundations of our faith, much of our Christian life involves remembering what we've already been taught. You see, the knowledge that we have in Jesus needs to be retained, and repeated reminders are essential for the Christian faith. Let me give you an example. We know that we ought to trust the Lord. Amen? But there are times that we need to be reminded to trust Him, aren't there? We know that we are to love one another. That's no new news, is it? But there are times we need to be reminded to love one another. It's really that simple. Last time we considered this letter, we saw that Peter was exhorting the church to supplement their faith with certain qualities. And now we come to this very short segment where the apostle explains why he writes. And it comes down to one simple reason: to remind them of what they already knew, especially since he knew he didn't have much time left. Peter saw his day was coming. He writes to remind them so that they would be kept from being ineffective in their faith in Jesus Christ, to stir them up and to ensure that they would continue to remember even after he had gone. And in this short little section, we see some of the beauty of the heart of our Savior shining through Peter. You see, he knew death was near, but he still focused on serving those entrusted into his care. Death wasn't something that frightened him. It was something that focused him to even double his efforts. So we're going to consider the text here in three sections today, very simply. Verse 12, being reminded for an effective faith. The second is verse 13 and 14, reminded to stir up our faithfulness, and then reminded for the future in verse 15. So please stand for the reading of God's word, and we'll get into it. Reading again from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 to 15. Thank you. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. This is God's word. Let's pray. Jesus, our King, thank you so much for warning Peter ahead of time so that he would write these things down for the church, that we might even have them today. Lord, thank you for preserving your word, and thank you that we can recall even today at any time our holy faith, these eternal truths that you have preserved by your providence and sovereign care. Lord, thank you that your word will outlast the universe. Thank you that we have it today. Strengthen us through it, I pray. Help us, help me. We commit this time to you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Please. So let's look first there in verse 12, reminded for an effective faith. We read right away in verse 12, therefore, which is tying into everything that Peter has already said in verse 5 to 11. And if you remember 2 weeks ago, these were the seven supplements for a healthy faith that led to living effectively and productively for Jesus. They knew them quite well already. These were mature believers in Jesus Christ. Peter is not writing to newbies in the faith. Look there, he says, you are established, that is firmly established in the truth that you have. And by saying this, Peter isn't insulting their intellect or their maturity in Jesus. But as a man who denied Jesus 3 times after walking with him for 3 years, he knew they needed a reminder. Now, there's a diligence conveyed here in this verse. He says, I intend always to remind you of these qualities. We could translate it, I will continue to recall the same truths to you. Clearly, Peter understood repetition is the mother of all teachers. He was going to continue to repeat these same truths to them. Now, what truths is he referring to? Well, I already mentioned everything found in verse 5 to 11. However, if you've read ahead and you know this letter well, you will see throughout the letter that he's actually seeking to remind them of much more than what he's just mentioned in verse 5 to 11. He actually wants them to remember all that they have been taught in Christ. You don't have to turn there, but we read again in chapter 3, verse 1 to 2, quote, this is now the second letter that I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. End quote. And so the things he wants them to recall can really be expanded to everything that they've been taught in Jesus Christ, specifically in this letter, the power and promises that they had been granted in Christ, the qualities that they were to practice in Christ for a fruitful, effective, and rewarded faith, the reality of Christ's glory and the veracity of Scripture, we'll get to that next week, and then the threat of false teachers that come in Christ's name, and ultimately the second coming of Jesus. He wants them to remember all of these things. You see, while they had come to know all these things, the apostle knew something that we can often forget. Knowledge rusts. And it needs to be oiled with constant reminders, lest you and I forget. It's the same for us today. We need reminders to be faithful, because forgetting actually leads us into faithlessness. If we forget where we stand, then we falter in our convictions. If we forget the divine power and promise that you and I have been given in Jesus Christ, then we fail to participate in the divine life that we've actually been called into. If we forget the qualities that we are to practice, we become ineffective. If we forget the prophetic word of the prophets and the command of Christ, then we start drifting into myth. If we forget the danger of false teachers and think that, oh, that's a past thing, they don't exist, well, then we stand to fall into error. If we forget the predictions of the holy prophets, we fail to live in light of the coming day of the Lord. And so you and I need reminders. Amen? You know, often there's times where I'll be listening to a dear saint, a younger saint in the faith. They'll tell me some new inquired insight into the things of God through his word. And then they sort of apologetically say after, but you know this already. I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. To which I try to quickly respond, No, you're not telling me anything I don't know, but I need the reminder. Every saint does. And actually, what ends up happening when a younger saint tells me of something that God has taught them through the scriptures, and I can see that truth breaking in on their life for the first time, it encourages my faith as well. And it occasions the moment to self-reflect and think, am I living according to that truth that this dear brother and sister has just newly discovered? You see, we are all served by reminders. The apostles knew this. Even John writes in 1 John, quote, I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it. And there is no lie of the truth in the truth. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life, end quote. Remembering in the Christian life is very important, isn't it? Alzheimer's is one of the most brutal diseases on the face of our planet. I hate it. And I am very sorry if you are dealing with a loved one who has Alzheimer's. I know my grandfather had it. It robs people of their memory. It really robs them of their personality. We can't help it. There's no cure. But some can end up living a Christian life with a self-imposed spiritual Alzheimer's. How? When they think they've gone past the need of being reminded. That's how that happens. That's actually quite an arrogant assumption, and we all know how that ends, don't we? So, by way of application, regardless of how much you know, and I know some of you, you know a lot. I've seen your libraries. We've had theological discussions, and you're quite sharpened. But know this, no matter how much you have come to know, dear saint, don't ever think you are past being reminded. And don't ever take offense at when someone seeks to remind you of a truth that you're not living up to. That is an act of love. You see, you and I need to be reminded weekly. This is actually one of the reasons we gather, right? Every Sunday we come together to remember what? The body and blood of our Lord. We come to remember what Christ has done for us. What we have been given, we come to remember what we have to look forward to, and we come to remember what we're supposed to be doing right here and right now. And we don't just do this weekly, we do this daily. We need one another. We need to remind one another. You see, here at Fellowship, our vision is to be a diverse community of disciple-making disciples to bring God glory and joy to others. And if we're not discipling others, guess what ends up happening? We tend to forget what we've already known. That's what ends up happening. I was just speaking with a brother the other day. He started discipling a few guys under his wing. And he's like, man, I forget some of this stuff. They're asking me tough questions. And I got to go back and resharpen my sword. I'm like, yeah. And you're on the field. You're constantly reminded. You see, you and I need one another in this effort. Even as the author of Hebrews writes this, you and I are to consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, and all the more as we see the day approaching. And no, that is not April 8th. Thank you. That is all I will say about it. He's talking about the day of the Lord. As Peter shows, one way he sought to stir them up was, again, by way of reminder, which leads us to the second point, reminded to stir up their faithfulness. Look there in verse 13. He lays down another reason for his reminder. He just simply considered it right. You could also translate that as just or proper. As long as he was alive on earth, he was going to do this. This was the right thing to do. Now, the phrase that he uses there, to stir you up, means to rouse from sleep, and usually with some kind of force, like shake you up a bit. And it's no secret that you and I can get sleepy in our faith from time to time. We become a little drowsy of what we are called to and who we are called by. And so we need to be roused by reminders often. Just as Jesus, our Lord himself, said to the disciples, in light of the end of the age in which we are actually in, remember these two words, what he said, stay awake. No, kids, that is not a command to stay up all night, so you can't use that with your parents. This is neither an endorsement for insomnia. It's a command to have a faith that is aware and active, that is mindful of the things of God every day. You see, Peter had received his commission directly from Jesus himself to feed and to tend the sheep of Christ, that is to care and teach for the church. And as Peter knew his time to leave this life was drawing near, that commission was amplified in his mind. And we see this here. Two points we need to make. The first is this: reminding the saints is an essential part of caring for the church of Jesus Christ. Reminding the saints is an essential part of caring for the church of Jesus. Many of you here, Sunday after Sunday, you've been walking with Jesus for decades. Some of you longer than I have been alive. You are well established in sound doctrine. And so you should not expect to hear from this pulpit anything new. I'm sorry if that disappoints you, but you won't. And if you do, you should come ask me about it, or whoever else is preaching. What you should expect, though, is you should expect to hear ancient truths proclaimed and reapplied to our context and in our time. And why? Because God's grace in Jesus Christ is relevant for every age. And every faithful minister of the gospel ought to seek to remind the saints of what they already have been given in Jesus Christ, what is already coming to them in Jesus Christ, and what they are to be doing in Jesus Christ. There are too many today in pulpits who are seeking to find something novel or edgy or interesting or acceptable to the culture. Don't misunderstand. The ministry of God's word should never be boring, but mark this: novelty in the faith that is in Jesus Christ is the enemy of orthodoxy. Novelty in the faith of Christ is always the enemy of orthodoxy. Now on to the second point. Peter's desire to remind them was also amplified by the fact that he knew that his death was coming. Having received from Jesus a prophecy of his own death, and you can read about that in John chapter 21, Peter could have been alluding to that here in verse 14, but I submit to you, this is actually something else, because the wording seems to fit better with a private revelation to Peter from Christ himself. Note what he says there. He states that the Lord Jesus made it clear to him that he'd be leaving this world soon. When he was given that prophecy, Peter was a younger man. This is decades later. And so this likely was some sort of special revelation to Peter, whether that came in the form of a dream or a vision or a prophecy or multiple means, we don't know. What we do know, though, is Peter was very certain that his day was coming soon. Now, look at his choice of words here, because if you were told that you're dying next week, the question you have to ask yourself as you're looking at these words is, how would you respond? Like, if Jesus showed up, I'm not saying he's going to, but if Jesus showed up and said, get ready, your day is coming soon, how would you respond? Look how Peter responds in verse 13 and 14. He shows this incredible great hope he had. The word that he uses there in verse 13 and 14 for body is actually the same word that we use for tent. It's Paul uses it in 2 Corinthians as well. And so it conveys this sense of impermanence. We all know that people who live in tents don't have a permanent home, right? A tent shouldn't be a permanent home, right? Amen. Especially in our day and age. And so Peter knew his body was a temporary dwelling and would be ultimately replaced by a permanent, glorious dwelling, just as his master was. He saw the resurrection, remember. Moreover, we see that for Peter, death was not a threat to him. In verse 15, look there, he says, after my departure. It's an interesting word because in the Greek, the word he uses is exodus. He doesn't use the word departure. He uses the word exodus. For Peter, in Jesus Christ, he understood that death was absolutely no threat at all. It's just an exodus out of this world into something far greater, into the presence and the glory of God, just as we had considered last week. This is a phenomenal example for us in the Apostle Peter, which leads me to the second point. We know that death cannot threaten us, but what it can do is it can help focus us to remain diligent in the ministry God has assigned to us. Death can focus us. I submit to you, death should. You see, death didn't frighten Peter, it focused him. And it's clear that even his impending death, news of his impending death, didn't prevent him from fulfilling his calling. He actually was determined here to persist in reminding them as long as God gave him another breath. One more breath, Lord. Why? So I can remind them. Now, most of us are not supernaturally made aware of the day of our death. However, sometimes we get a very good indication that that day is coming a little closer. When that happens, it is not time to abandon your ministry and suck the last little bit of marrow out of this life. If we can learn anything from our Lord and from the Apostle Peter, it's actually time to focus even more, to make sure we're leaving something behind. You see, if you and I find out that we're going to check out pretty soon, and then we start trying to suck in every last little bit of marrow out of this life, that is how a self-absorbed, narcissistic, and hopeless society responds to death. Those who live forever in glory should not respond that way. Amen? Thank you. If you know you're going to die, it is time to think of what you are to leave behind. And I am not talking about an inheritance of cars and cash and property. This goes to the last section, the reminder for the future. Look in verse 15. After giving them the reason for writing, sharing his urgent intention to keep them reminded as long as he had breath, he conveys this desire that he was going to make every effort so that they would be able to remember when he's gone. In verse 15, he writes, make every effort so that any time they could recall these eternal things. Obviously, making every effort involved writing these things down for them. What some theologians speculate on, and I think it's a good speculation because the early church fathers attest to this, is that it was roughly around this time that the Gospel of Mark was written. Because the early church fathers tell us that Peter actually dictated the gospel to Mark. Mark wrote it down. And so Peter's writing stuff down, a lot of stuff. One letter, two letters, the Gospel of Mark. You glad you've got those? I would hope so. You see, thank God Peter wrote these things down. Because if he and the rest of the apostles didn't write it down, we would have hardly anything recorded for us of the teachings of Christ. Peter would pass on from the world, but his letter wouldn't. And so what we have here are the inspired words of God, the apostolic testimony preserved for us. And we know that in every generation, the inspired word of God must be not only taught, but remembered. You see, what we have here today, this morning, in your hands or on your phone, is all that we need to live faithful and effective lives in Jesus Christ. Everything else that is written, and I'm not overstating this, everything else that is written in this world is all supplementary. Reading the law book, or whatever it is, the entire legislation of Alberta, is not going to save your eternal soul, will it? What do doctors have to read? I don't know. A whole entire library of stuff? That may help you save lives temporarily, but it will not save eternal souls. This is the only thing written that will do that. And so we ought to treat it as such, as precious, and we ought to commit it to memory if we are able. Now, I understand this is difficult in our digital age because you and I are so used to Googling everything. We just don't bother remembering anything, right? Quickly, what's your own telephone number? Like, we don't even remember how to get places anymore. Like Tony was alluding to today. Places that we've been to a dozen times. Better Google that. You're laughing because it's true. I'm not going to beat you up. I'm guilty as well. But with Scripture, we should not treat it that way. We should hide it in our hearts because of how precious it is. There's one last thing here before I close. There's another thing in Peter's example that I think we should note. While he had breath, he ensured that they would be reminded of the truths even when he was gone, and he shows us a perspective that sometimes we can miss. He shows us a selfless love toward those who he knows he's going to leave behind, and he desires to pass on what ultimately will benefit them. Ultimately. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, sure, Jay, but Peter wrote Scripture and we don't. Good. You're right. We don't have that influence or authority. There's no apostles left. We're not in need of any today since we have their writings. However, I think we ought to consider what we leave behind to encourage and exhort the faith of those who are under our influence. You and I, as priests in an eternal kingdom, ought to seek to leave a legacy of truth for those who remain. Pastors, grandparents, fathers, mothers, uncles, aunts, brothers and sisters, leaders of all sorts, I want to exhort you this morning to consider what you are going to leave. What effort are you taking so that after you depart, the faith of those in your influence will be strengthened? You see, the highest motive for writing is not to entertain, and it's not to inform, but the highest motive in any writing is to convey that which is eternally valuable. And what is eternally valuable? The gospel of Christ. For those of you who have read Christian histories, for those of you who have read the testimony of the saints down through the centuries, have you been encouraged by their writing? Do you think that they wrote so they would make money? Do you think that they wrote to serve their own ego? What they wrote was to serve you, well, ultimately to serve Christ. That ought to be the highest motive for whatever we're doing in terms of our writing. So how do we do this? Well, can I just, it's really simple. Can you consider writing something down for those who you will leave behind? Now, some of you, that might be years away. For some of you, that might be days, months, I don't know. But the reality is that consider writing something down. I thank God for the testimony of my mother. I forget half the stuff she said to me, though. I do remember those key moments where God spoke through her into my life, but boy, I wish she would have wrote some of those things down. Some of you have grandparents like that. Some of you have friends like that. Consider what that looks like for you. It may not be a book. It may just be a little letter. It may be a biography, maybe a personalized note in a Bible. The list can go on, but seek to write something down to enrich the generations. Now, I want to also exhort some of you here today who actually have the capacity to write books and to write articles, and even those of you who are gifted and have the capacity to create exceptional digital content to circulate around the globe for the glory of Christ. Listen, let me encourage you to do that. While the internet is still accessible, you should use it. You see, we need to take Peter's example here because he reflects again, as I said in the beginning, the heart of our master. Knowing that he's leaving, he ensures that those who remain are left with what they need to carry on faithfully. I think we ought to take a note. Now, finally, for those who are here this morning and you have yet to trust in Jesus Christ, please understand that apart from him, you have no ultimate legacy of truth to pass on. I know that might sound harsh, but the reality is this: Jesus is the truth, the life, and the way. He did not claim to merely know the truth or have discovered it. He is it. And so you must start first by being established in him, to know the one true and living God, to know who you truly are and what the purpose of life is. And it's not about you. It's all about God. It's all about Christ. And when you turn to him in faith and turn away from sin, then you can focus on seeking to leave a legacy of truth behind, not a legacy of lies. I'll end with this. My dear brothers and sisters, knowledge that it has been forgotten doesn't do good to anybody. And so let us remember what is written, and let us keep reminding each other until our faith becomes sight. Let's pray. God, our Father, thank you for this brief exhortation. Thank you so much for your words written down through the Apostle Peter, so that we might be reminded of these truths. Lord, help us to carry on faithfully to the very end, so that the next generation may not only have an example to follow, but Lord, that they may also have the truth conveyed to them. May we proclaim it, may we write it, may we preserve it. Lord, thank you that ultimately you are the God who is building your church. And so continue to remind us of these eternal truths as we go into our week, that we might live in light of them. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.